All right, folks. Here's what happened. I just recorded an entire podcast about the fact that the Washington Wizards won a basketball game tonight. And it was freaking shocking. Nobody saw that coming. The Wizards went into Minnesota. They played great. Kyle Kuzma had an absolutely electric day. Really showed that he's good for the trade market. Valanciunas had a key put back late in the game. But forget about all of that. Folks. The NBA basketball world has just changed forever in what might be the most crazy trade of all time. And let me add to this that the trade actually has Washington context, even though the trade has nothing to do with the Wizards, but it just makes the rich get richer. And I'm so frustrated and I can't understand it for the life of me. I'm freaking shaking. But let me tell you a little bit about what happened on May 14th of 1998. Okay, your favorite podcaster. All right, my name is Dave Levy. This is the Washington Wizards Sports Ethos Podcast. Your favorite podcaster at the time is 14 years old. All right, and he would have told you to like and subscribe his future podcast. So if you haven't done that, do that. Here's the headline from the Washington Post. Weber traded to Sacramento. The Wizards get all-star guard Richmond. That's Mitch Richmond, who had recently been the MVP of the all-star game, but is also a lot older than Chris Weber. And forward Otis Thorpe. Here's the article as Rick Boucher wrote it. The Washington Wizards traded troubled forward Chris Weber to the Sacramento Kings last night for all-star guard Mitch Richmond and power forward Otis Thorpe. Weber, 25. That's an important number. 25. A lot of basketball ahead of him. Led the Wizards in scoring, rebounding, and shot blocking this season. But was criticized for making flashy plays and failing to execute more fundamental ones, and his off-court problems sometimes overshadowed his on-court play. Conversely, Richmond, 32. That's a seven-year difference. So what are you getting out of that? Is considered a no-frills scorer and a tough-nosed defender who has made the most out of his physical talent. He is one of only four players, Jordan, Abdul-Jabbar, and Oscar Robertson, to average 21 or more points for their first 10 seasons in the league. General manager Wes Unseld said, "This is a deal we have coveted ever since I became general manager. I've always thought that Richmond would be a tremendous asset. We had to give up a tremendous player in Chris Weber to get him." Chris Weber go on to do after that? Well, he went to the Sacramento Kings, where he was a freaking dominant player for the Kings over the course of the next decade. Miss Richmond faded away because he was already freaking basketball old. 33 is basketball old. So I don't know what the heck the Wizards thought they were doing, but we'll listen to Chris Weber's sort of career statistics for a minute, because I think that's notable. Weber played 3 years with the Wizards. He was on the Wizards in the 94-95, 95-96, and 96-97 season, and part of the 97-98 season when they were stupid enough to trade him to Sacramento. In that time, he was playing 39 minutes a game for most of that, averaging a very impressive total, 21 points in 97-98 when he was traded. Immediately upon arriving in Sacramento in the 99-2000 season, 24 points, 27 points, 24 points, 23 points, 18 points, 19 points, 21 points. That's all of the years that he was in Sacramento, and you may recall that that team went deep into the playoffs with Peja Stojakovic and Vlade Divac and Mike Bibby. Very memorable teams, those Sacramento Kings, and yes, they were never able to get a ring, but there is no question that the Kings won that trade easily. It made them relevant. Weber went on to be an absolute star. And at the time, as a young NBA fan who was just coming to my own, as somebody who was so excited about what we were going to see next, a very young fan, pumped about this team that had just taken on the Bulls with Cheney and Strickland and Howard and Weber and Murison and Tracy Murray and Chris Whitney. My gosh, I remember it like it was yesterday. All of a sudden, Weber is gone. He's off in Sacramento, and he only goes on to be absolutely epic for the rest of time. While the Washington, I don't even remember Mitch Richmond in a Wizards uniform. He wouldn't have been there. Who cares? Anthony Davis is 7 years older than Luka Doncic. And tonight, Anthony Davis was traded to the Dallas Mavericks in exchange for Luka Doncic, and I cannot do justice to how little I understand this trade. So let's take a look at the actual data from the trade. The Lakers are going to become awesome for the rest of time. We recognize that LeBron is NBA old. He's 40 years old. He's in my high school class, okay? Stop it. I'm not old. I have lots of energy. LeBron will be joining Luka Doncic and Maxi Kleber and Markieff Morris, while the Dallas Mavericks will obtain Anthony Davis, Max Christie, and a Lakers first. And it doesn't really matter, but the Jazz get Jalen Hood-Chichino, a 2025 Clippers second, and a 2025 Mavericks second. But forget about the Jazz. The reality is, Luka, 7 years younger Luka, who just took Dallas to the NBA Finals, is now a member of the Los Angeles Lakers. What are we talking about? So now you're looking at a team, Austin Reeves, LeBron, Luka. That's a pretty good basketball team. A team that, with a current record that has them just outside sort of competitive playoff contention, is now a team that could legitimately compete for the title. The Lakers are 28-19. They're in fifth place. Dallas is 26-23. They are in eighth place. Both teams are going to be in the playoffs. They're going to meet up probably in the next couple of weeks. It is bananas to me. Bananas to me that these two players have been traded for them. Yes, it's true that Luka Doncic is a little out of shape sometimes and doesn't maybe maximize his body. And yes, it's true that LeBron James is in extraordinary shape and could probably have a major impact on Luka. And how about the Dallas general manager who had the audacity to say, well, defense wins championships. Let me quote my good friend Dennis Johnson, who said, offense wins scholarships. Okay, here's the reality. All right, now you've got Luka, who is a freaking franchise player, who was dominating with Kyrie, who had already taken Dallas to the finals, who would have given you every year for the next like 15 seasons an opportunity to compete deep into the playoffs. Why in the world would you want to trade that player? Not to mention the fact that he's also going to be a sort of face of the league in the coming years. Luka Doncic is one of the NBA's biggest stars. You had him, and now you don't. I'm baffled by what the heck Dallas is thinking as they move Luka to LA, where, for LeBron, they could be competitive right now. I know LeBron and Anthony Davis are close. I recall Anthony Davis's That's All Folks t-shirt when he left the Pels and got traded to the Lakers, which was also a big trade, but not nearly of the magnitude of this trade. For LeBron, he now has a co-pilot that can legitimately take the Lakers to the finals. Why not? Could LeBron and Luka do the same kind of thing as what Luka was doing with Kyrie? I think they could. I think it's actually quite reasonable. Dallas, in my opinion, has gotten dramatically worse. Kyrie, we've seen over the years, is really good as a number two, right? He did a great job with LeBron winning those titles in Cleveland. He's proven to be very effective in that role. But he also has done a great job alongside Luka in Dallas. But when he had to be the number one, like in Boston, not that great. Anthony Davis goes down there, and sure, Anthony Davis is a great defender, and he's a great all-around player. Nobody's taking anything away from Anthony Davis, and 33 is not that old. But it's 7 years older than Luka. Dallas, in my opinion, is now completely irrelevant. That is my humble take. Yes, they're going to make the playoffs because 20 out of the 30 teams make the playoffs. They may creep their way back into the top six, so they're not in the play-in. That's possible. All they would have to do is pass the Minnesota Timberwolves, who, by the way, just lost to the Wizards. I just did a whole pod about it, and then this happened, and it's so much more exciting than the fact that the Wizards shook up the league. The Wizards won, and then everybody was like, what do I do? Oh my gosh, I should trade my franchise player. New Lakers lineup now features a player that just took Dallas to the Western Conference Finals in Luka Doncic, Austin Reeves, who the Lakers got at a significant discount because nobody tried to bid them up, even though they only had so much money against the cap. LeBron James is likely to start. You know, he's kind of a stud. Rui Hachimura, former Wizard, probably going to be in the starting lineup. And then lastly, Maxi Kleber. That's a pretty good team. That's a pretty darn good team. The Mavericks, who avoid paying Luka a $345 million max deal, which seems like, honestly, kind of a bargain for a franchise player. If I were the Wizards, I'd be, you know, cooking over that. They'll come back. They still have Kyrie, right? They've added Max Christie to their roster, so that's pretty cool. Klay Thompson playing with, they still have PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford, and then somewhere in there, Anthony Davis. So Kyrie, Davis, Klay, Washington, Gafford. Yeah, that's still a competitive team. Nobody's going to sit here and say that's not a competitive team. And it may be a team that gives a couple years of good play and competition. But if you're the Mavericks, you just gave up an all-time great. An all-time great. The best basketball for Luka Doncic is ahead of him. Just like the best basketball for Chris Webber was ahead of him. It's been a weird night in basketball, folks. The Wizards won a game. The Wizards won a game. Luka has been traded to LA. Davis to Dallas, which in some ways is a lot less important to me. Whew. I now give you the originally recorded Wizards podcast before this trade came through. Also strange and surprising, but the seventh Wizards win of the season. When you're a kid and your parent says to you, you know, that's why they play the game. You never know. Any given Sunday, anything is possible. It's hard to believe those phrases when you've seen, with your own two eyes, a team obliterate another team. The Wizards have had lots of teams obliterate them. They've lost 16 ball games in a row, and this comes on the heels of a season where they won only 15. Their record coming into tonight, 6-41. Talk about tanking, my lord. The Jazz have won 10, so that's not impressive either, but 6? And if you listen to some of these scores of recent games in the month of January, well, the Wizards hadn't won since January 1st. There's something about first days of the months for the Wizards. They lost, and some of these games were absolute obliterations. Listen to these last three scores. Home against the Lakers, 134-96. The Raptors, 106-82, their lowest offensive output of the entire season. And then at Dallas, without Luka Doncic, 130-108. All massive L's. Have there been highlights in some of those games? Sure, but in the Raptors game recently, those Wizards were down 9-0 right off the bat, 21-4, basically no one in the building. Sure, there was a nice moment when Rashawn Holmes drew a foul, caught a nice pass from Poole, or when Bilal dunked in transition. Even Corey Kispert had a dunk in the mid-range. That was exciting. How about Kuzli in the break, finding George in transition, or George hitting a three? Yay! Wizards doing some things. Only down 31-18 after the first quarter. Exciting news about Justin Champagne, who's back up from the G League, or Jalen Noel, who's been absolutely dominating. Yes, there have been some things to be excited about, but generally speaking, the Wizards have been absolutely horrible. Their output in that Raptors game was 82 points. Lowest of the season in the modern NBA, 82 points is basically nothing, especially when there have been other games where the Wizards have given up more than 75 points in a half. So, the Wizards also had 25 turnovers in that game. Wow, that's an impressive turnout. Way to go, Wizards. Jordan Poole shot 1-for-9. And speaking of more than 75 points in that game, 76 points allowed to the Raptors in the first half, highest total of the season, but twice they've allowed 73. So then the Lakers come to town. The Lakers absolutely obliterating the Wizards. And we get to the third quarter, fourth quarter area. And the We Want Bronny chants begin. And can you blame the fans for wanting Bronny James to enter the game? I can't. That's exciting. Father-son duo. How cool. Remember when Griffey Jr. and Griffey Sr. were out there doing their thing? Very special. Bronny got his all-time career high with 5 points against the Wizards. LeBron James came in with 24. And can you be surprised that that is when Bronny James gets his all-time high? So people were chanting, "We want Bronny, we want Bronny." And frankly, so did I. I also wanted Bronny. That's exciting. The Wizards in that game failed to score 100 points for the fourth time in 6 games. Modern NBA, 100 points is nothing. Is it weird that I was also wanting Bronny? I think it's not. And you know, the other day we had a "We Want" moment with a chant from our varsity hoops team at Tandem Friends, where the kids were chanting, the varsity kids were chanting for this one player who doesn't get a lot of minutes. And the kid came in and he did his job. He got a bucket and the place went bananas. So when you got a guy who doesn't get to play a lot and he goes in, he gets a moment, especially when he happens to be the son of one of the all-time greatest players, cheers. Cheers to you, Bronny James, and cheers to you, LeBron James. Yeah, that's exciting stuff. So the Wizards have lost 16 points going into this game. Was the low point giving up 76 points and a half? I don't know. Was it the "We Want Bronny" chant? I don't know. Was it Johnny Davis dribbling off his foot? Nah, that's just normal procedure for Johnny Davis. What a bum. Anyway, tonight, the Wizards come out, and they are prepared to go to Minnesota. Ian Edwards, not able to play this evening, but Minnesota's still considerably better than the Wizards. No Edwards, no Randall. I still fully expect Minnesota to win. The Wizards haven't even been competitive lately. So 6:30 rolls around, and as the student of the game that I am, the student of the Wizards that I am, I go and I turn on the Duke Carolina game. And you know what? ESPN loves the Duke Carolina game. I get that it's a great rivalry. We get the national anthem. We get the starting lineups. And coming in from Freeport, Maine, Cooper freaking Flag. He had 6 points in the first 4 minutes and 4 assists. This dude is an absolute stud. So for the Wizards, I thought the best part of tonight would be seeing, hopefully, their future number one player. I figured I'd watch Flagg, who absolutely dominated, by the way, his counterparts from Carolina, and I would enjoy that dub for them, even though I don't enjoy things for Duke in general, but just the presence of this kid that I'm really hopeful can help sort of save our Wizards franchise. And then an hour later, I turned it over to the Wizards game, where the Wizards would be absolutely obliterated. And before we get to what actually happened to the Wizards tonight, I would like to tell you a little bit about Flagg's night. 38 minutes for Flagg, 6 of 14 shooting against his heated rival, 3 of 5 from downtown. Flagg impacted every single part of the game. He finishes with an unbelievable line, 21 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. The kid was freaking everywhere. He must be a lot of fun to play with. You cut, he will find you. He also was hitting threes from nowhere, Will, getting to the rim when he wanted to, cutting down to every rebound, and he led the team in minutes, he led the team in points, he led the team in rebounds, and Duke dominated North Carolina to the point where the students had these signs that said, missing North Carolina in the top 25, because they are 13-10, and there's a legitimate chance that the Heels will not make the tournament this year. Now, that won't really happen because the committee wants Carolina in the tournament. They'll get in, and they'll probably make a deep run, because doesn't that happen every year? Great college basketball today. While we're on the subject, I'll just throw out real quick that Calipari made his return with Arkansas to Rupp Arena, where he beat Kentucky. I love stuff like that. My name is Dave Levy. This is the Washington Wizards Sports Ethos Podcast, and tonight I have some special news for you, because the Washington Wizards did something that I'm sure none of us were expecting. The Wizards, in the first quarter, are ahead by 10. I messaged my friend Spencer and I said, hey, the Wizards are winning. Turn it on. The Wizards are winning. The Wizards are up by 5 with 4 minutes to go in the half, and it's still a -310 on Sportsbook. All right, so if you were playing gambling on the Wizards, everybody still believes the Wizards are going to win. By the end of the second quarter, Kyle Kuzma has 18 points. Heck of an audition for somebody who I'm sure is looking forward to Thursday, to the trade deadline, which, by the way, NBA, why do you have the trade deadline in the same week as the Super Bowl? Foolish. And because of the way the apron is set up, I don't think we're going to have the most exciting trade deadline. But I fully do expect Kyle Kuzma to be moved. Kyle Kuzma at halftime has already got 18. He's playing great basketball, and the Wizards lead at halftime. Does this mean the Wizards are going to win? No. No, it doesn't. But the Wizards are winning at halftime. This is unusual. Typically, the Wizards are down by 30, and it's over. In the second half, the Wizards come out and play a little bit of defense. How about Jordan Poole having a pool party and a block party? He creates a shot clock violation. The Wizards are playing defense, and they're still winning. Kyshawn George gets a block. Poole hits a turnaround jumper. The Wizards are +8. And you know who showed up tonight was Rashawn Holmes. Rashawn Holmes, who was going up against Murray graduate Luka Garza, had himself a night. Rashawn Holmes coming off the bench and playing great basketball. He finishes in 17 minutes, 6-3-3. But the guys out there hustling and working, providing excellent minutes to our actual starting center, Jonas Valanciunas, who played great in 30 minutes. He shot over 50%, 6 of 11, 13 points, 10 rebounds. Whoever gets Jonas Valanciunas on their team is going to be very lucky down the stretch for what he provides. We get to the end of the third quarter. The Wizards are up by 6, 83-77, but we're still not really believing there's going to be a win. You know why? Because they've lost 16 games in a row and been absolutely terrible. And Keith has thrown out some rotations that are just bananas, where he's like, you know what, Kyshawn George, why don't you bring the ball up the court? No, you have actual point guards on the team, okay? Including one in the G League, by the way, shout out Jalen Noel. Jalen Noel tonight in the Go-Go's big win, 33 points, 10 assists, 5 rebounds, 14 of 21 from the floor, 3 of 6 from downtown. He finishes with a +10. I fully expect that after we dish Kuzma and Valanciunas and Brogdon, who, by the way, has been out for 14 games. Maybe that's coincidental with the losing streak. I don't know. All three of those guys are likely to be off the roster. Anyway, all is right in the world. All seems sort of simple in the world when Minnesota starts the fourth quarter with an 8-0 run. That makes sense, right? But Jonas Valanciunas then gets the paint with a little turnaround hook, and the Wizards got the lead back. Then Jordan Poole, after getting a steal, comes down the floor, giving me a smooth little bounce pass through the paint, finds Jonas Valanciunas, and one. Gets that. Go, big man. Throw it down. The Wizards are winning. And then something really weird happens. The Wizards played such good defense that for 3 whole minutes, that's 180 seconds for those of you keeping track at home, Minnesota doesn't score. There are a bunch of play possessions where the Wizards force turnovers, but also, they just play solid defense and get rebounds. It's very exciting. So, the Wizards are able to manage a lead. Poole gets to the line on a strong take down the floor, gets absolutely mashed to the ground, and then he knocks down both free throws. The Wizards are leading 99-93, 3:42 on the clock. Minnesota calls timeout. I'm sure they are in disbelief. And as you look at the crowd, you scan the crowd in Minnesota, you look at all these Timberwolves fans, this is not what they signed up for, right? They signed up for a dub. To whom it may concern, Minnesota is in the midst of a race in the West. The West is competitive. It always is. And if you look at what's happening in the West, you will notice that in the standings at current, the Timberwolves kind of need this game. They're sitting just outside of the top six to be out of the playoff. They're 27-21. And as I've referenced several times on this pod, they made a very foolish trade, giving away Towns and getting back Randall and DiVincenzo. And tonight, they had neither player. So there you go. But Mike Conley, Ohio State alum, comes out. He cuts the lead in half first. He has what I thought should have been an and one, but they call a foul on the floor. But the ball don't lie. They find Conley in the corner, and he knocks down a three. Now the lead is just three. Pools tries to match, and he misses. Conley gets another bucket, and now it's 99-98. Then Kyle Kuzma, I'm talking all-star caliber Kyle Kuzma, starts going to work. Now, there are only a handful of players in the league that can take over a game. Kyle Kuzma, over the course of his career with the Wizards in the position where he is the number one guy, has not done this very often. But tonight, Kyle Kuzma finishes with 31 points, 8 rebounds on 13 of 24 shooting. He shoots 50%, 5 of 10 from downtown, and frankly, was effective from all three levels. Kuzma shows off with a big bucket, up one. He makes a move, excellent footwork, does the drop step, then drops again to get around the defender, seals the player behind him, hits a bank shot, Wizards plus three. They go down the other way, Rudy Gobert gets a tip in, Wizards plus one. Now we're under a minute. Kuzma brings the ball down the court. He's not giving it up. He's ready for winning time. He gets into the paint. He gives a little Kobe Bryant shoulder shake, fades away, and knocks down a Jay. The Wizard up by three again. Gobert comes down, knocks down another bucket, and the Wizards are back to a one-point lead. Who brings the ball up the court again this time? Jordan Poole dishes it off to Kuz. Kuz, it's another shot. Six in a row. So the Wizards are, again, plus three. The Wizards look like they're in complete control when Kuzma misses his next shot. Valanciunas rebounds. He puts it back up. The Wizards are plus five with 20 seconds to go. So we think maybe it's over, but no, because we're Wizards fans, and we're fully aware of what can happen when we have late-game scenarios. Coulibaly then, on the next possession, does an absolute no-no. He fouls Conley while shooting a three. In this scenario, Coach Brian Keith, for future reference, the one thing that you might tell your players, the one thing is do not foul. Don't let them score without time coming off the clock, okay? What are you doing? Coulibaly, we'll give it to him that he's his second year. I don't know, he's excited. The Wizards have a chance to win. They haven't won in like a month. An actual month, folks. They haven't won since January 1st. Is it a coincidence that this is early in February? I don't know. Anyway, Conley makes all three free throws, so it's 105-103. The Wizards call a timeout to advance the ball, and then they do exactly what you were expecting the Wizards to do when they throw the ball in. They throw it into Kuz. He turns it over almost immediately, and Minnesota has the ball with about 7 seconds to go. Now, in this moment, I just want you to imagine a seasoned Wizards fan, okay? I've been around for a lot of L's. I've seen the Wizards lose in all kinds of interesting ways. I've seen the Commanders lose in all kinds of interesting ways. I've seen the Orioles lose in all kinds of interesting ways. My teams are well-known, well-equipped for finding ways to lose. This felt a lot like that, all right? Conley gets the ball, brings it up the court, finds Alexander Walker for a contested three, but a pretty good look. The ball travels in slow motion, arcing towards the cold Minnesota rim. It lands on the heel of the rim, bouncing straight in the air. You know those shots that land at the heel of the rim and still go in? Felt like it might be one of those. But it then hits the front of the rim, bounces off. You see Alexander Walker keel over, and you see the Wizards kind of in shock. Like, do you celebrate when you're 7-40? I think you don't. But the Wizards do get a big-time win. I'm sure it feels great. You're on the road. And the Wizards finish the game with 13 stocks, that's steals and blocks, an indication of the fact that they actually put a little effort into playing defense tonight. In fact, they put a little effort into playing basketball tonight, which for the Wizards is something new. Statistically, the Wizards were without Alex Saar, but their young guys played a high level. Kuzma got the start, as we said earlier, and was elite in 33 minutes. I think he's worth more than a second round pick, but I'm not confident the Wizards will get one, but he's playing great. When Kuzma and Poole are in the lineup together, Poole finishes with 19, 4 and 3 with 2 blocks, the team's pretty good. Kyshawn George, who's continuing to come into his own. And by the way, one of the things that I liked about his line tonight, he shoots 6 three-pointers, but he does knock in 2 of them. 22 minutes, 11 and 6 with 2 assists. And defensively, continues to be strong. 2 steals for Kyshawn George. He plays a great game. We talked about Valanciunas earlier. 13 and 10. Very smooth, high percentage shooting. The Wizards got quality contributions from Malcolm Brogdon. Welcome back. And also goodbye. We feel like Brogdon's likely to be traded, but he finishes with 3, 4, and 5. 21 minutes. He's just a savvy vet. He's a savvy vet doing his thing, making moves happen. I learned today, by the way, that UVA versus Virginia Tech is like a thing. And Virginia lost that game today and also lost in football. But such is life, fellow Charlottesvillians. Carrington got in the game, had 4 assists, played solid hoops. Rashawn Holmes was probably the biggest surprise off the bench. And then, of course, Corey Kispert, who trickled in 2 three-pointers, 8 total points, 28 minutes. Just solid veteran play for Corey Kispert, who, while youthful, is technically, in the NBA way, a veteran. The Wizards walk away with a win. I didn't even know it was possible. And you might recall in the last pod, I went through the calendar to try to find their next win, and I was pretty sure it wasn't coming anytime soon. The Wizards are now 7-40. So we'll just bask in the glory. They had 1 win in January, and they have 1 win in February. Do I think they're going to get another one? Not really, but anything's possible, right? That's why they play the game. We feel confident that the Wizards are going to get some reinforcements after the trade deadline. Some of the reinforcements might be internal. The Capital City Go-Go beat the Greensboro Swarm 131-122 on Saturday. An excellent win for them. They've been playing generally at a high level. We talked earlier about what Jalen Noel is doing, but also they've gotten contributions from our guy, Justin Champagny. And can we just all agree at this point about Justin Champagny that he's basically a pro? All right, he doesn't need to be in the G League. He's a legitimate NBA player. He could help any team. I fully believe this. And I don't even know why we're still doing this thing where it's like, well, is Champagny playing with the Wizards? Is he playing with the Go-Go? No, people. He should be playing with the Wizards. He's out here doing work. In his most recent game, down with the Go-Go, he got a DNP. And you want to know why? Because he was up with the Wizards. And let's keep him there, folks. All right? I'm tired of this. But Jalen McDaniels down there getting a little work in. He had a solid game. We also saw a solid game from Patrick Baldwin. So, you know what? We got some guys in development. My name is Dave Levy. This is the Washington Wizards Sports Ethos Podcast. May our trades be like 4% as exciting as the trade tonight. And let's go, Wizards.